Matthew Stuckey here from Verity Baptist Church Manila, and I wanted to provide you another video on the topic of Calvinism and unconditional election. And one of the favorite passages of Calvinists to turn to is in Romans chapter 8, starting at verse number 28. And this is what the Bible reads. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, one thing Calvinists get wrong right off the bat is this. They assume that people that love God are those that are saved. But the truth is that most people that are saved really don't love God. Whether or not we love God is not based on whether or not we believe, but it's based on whether or not we're actually obeying his commandments. And so, you know, most people that are saved, most people that believe, they don't obey the commandments of God. See, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So the proof of whether or not we love him is if we keep his commandments. That has nothing to do with salvation, though, because salvation is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life. But whether or not we keep his commandments is the proof of whether or not we love him. And so when it says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, well, this is referring to people that are not only saved, but actually are following the rules and the laws of the Bible and trying to obey God's will. Now, this makes sense because he says we know that all things work together for good, okay? Here's what you have to understand. Just because you're saved, if you're not obeying God's rules, things are not going to work together for good for you. Look, if I were to cheat on my wife, commit adultery, leave my family and everything like that, look, you know, God's not going to be blessing me. And the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow in this life. And so if you as a believer choose not to obey God's rules, hey, you'll still be saved. It's eternal life. You can't lose your salvation. It's everlasting life. But you're going to reap what you sow, and things are not going to work together for good. Now, an example of a good application of this would be someone like Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph was not a wicked person. Joseph was obeying what God said, but when his life was actually pretty miserable. Now, the thing is, though, all things were working together for good for Joseph. Now, he didn't necessarily realize that at the time, but remember what he said? He's like, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Things were working together for good for Joseph, because God's blessing was still upon him. But if Joseph had chosen to commit adultery, if Joseph had chosen to become a bad person, God's blessing would no longer be upon him. So here's the thing, things do work together for good if you love God. People like Job, who hadn't done anything wrong to deserve what happened to him, but you know, sometimes trials will come and you know, things do work together for good because God is blessing you. But look, if you're someone who's saved and you're not obeying God's rules, then you can't tell me that things are going to work together for good. It's like, I became a drunk and left my wife, and here I am today, though. I've sought forgiveness for this 20 years later, and you know, God put me through the storm, but I got, no, you just chose to be a wicked person, become a drunk, and leave your family. You can't say, well, work together for good. It's not going to work together for good unless you actually love God. That's what the Bible's teaching here. But then it says in verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So it's very consistent that once again, the foreknowledge comes before the predestination. So we're not being predestined to salvation, though he has foreknowledge of who's going to believe. That's throughout the entire Bible. And then he predestines those that would believe to certain things in life. But he doesn't predestine us to salvate to heaven or hell from the foundation of the world unconditionally. No, it's based on his foreknowledge of who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So in verse 33, they see that it's the elect, and it says it is God that justifieth. And they basically use this and say, well, see, we can't be mad at God because God's the one who justifies. God's the one who elects. He's the one who chooses. It's based on his will. It's based on his choice. So don't be mad if God just decides, I want to let this person grow up and burn. I don't want them to go to heaven. That's ridiculous. Yes, it is God that justifieth, but it is based on his foreknowledge. And so it's just very clear that the Calvinists have no understanding of these verses at all. They don't get it whatsoever. It's just very clear here what the Bible is teaching. Once again, foreknowledge comes before predestination. And so the problem with Calvinists is they just don't understand the Bible because they're not saved themselves. This is one of their favorite passages they like to use. And once again, what do you see? Well, you see the foreknowledge comes before the predestination. Thank you and God bless.